Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God. Oh, my God, I want to just thank everybody for all your well-wishing, and thank you for tuning in and keeping up with the Black Hebrew history, the Black Hebrew Women History Month. Thank you for keeping up with that. Thank you for your support. Oh, my God, man, this has, like, been a real blessing to me. First and foremost, I want to say greetings to Peter, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of Community Ministries Bible Study Class. And right now we're in the midst of Black History Month. Well, we're actually wrapping up the month of Black History. And we are dealing with Black Hebrew women of the Bible. That's what we're dealing with here. And tonight, today, we're dealing with Deborah, one of the judges. Man, we got to look at her story. Man, her story is huge because it changes things. Her story is a game changer, right? Because this was it wasn't unheard of. It just shows how much authority and how much respect the God of Israel had on Miriam and her seat. See, if it wasn't a Miriam, Deborah don't exist. You see, so we gotta look at Miriam's story. We're gonna, for those of us that haven't been, keeping up with the precepts, we always like to go back and give everybody an idea where we're coming from this particular session of the precept. And this wise, we are dealing with Miriam and her works, and what was she in the law, what is Deborah in the law? Like, we open up all our conversations, from all our mothers, where they fit, like our mother Sarah fit all the things that pertain in the law to from a kinswoman to a wise sister, to understanding kinswoman, to a virtuous woman, to a queen, all of those things. Sarah fit all those things. And then also Rebecca, definitely she's the prototype of a virtuous woman. She surpassed all virtuous women. She set the standard. Like Tom Brady set the standard for NFL quarterbacks, she set the standard for what is a virtuous woman, hands down. And so that ain't to say that there isn't any more virtuous women. She excelled them all. He said, many have done virtuously. Well, here we are. This is what we're looking at. Now we're looking at our mother Leah. She done virtuously. And even our mother Rachel, you know, and what she brought forth, you know, she had her conversation in virtuous, you know. Obviously, she was a virgin. That's first and foremost, you know. And she was a husband of one man her entire life, you know. So that's a conversation of virtuous, you know, for Rachel. You know, maybe her spirit was in and out throughout time, but, you know, her being and everything, the end game is that she still was virtuous to her husband, and he didn't have a problem dwelling with her. And then there was Leah, you know, whose was the epitome of the thing that the law said, that she would never do her husband any harm or anything to that effect. She was that woman, and she was the law of kindness and all those things, and she was that. She fulfilled that in Revelations chapter 12 and 2, and so did our mother Rachel, and Psalms 45 and 9, all of them fit that, like a glove. And then we came to Miriam, who we are dealing with the previous, and she was Moses' elder sister. And I mean, she saved him. She the one that approached Pharaoh's daughter. That was her. You know, Moses didn't have any other sisters. She was the oldest of Aaron and Moses. When Moses was born, Aaron was 3. That's why they weren't after Aaron. They was after Moses. Right? So Miriam, she was the one that was running alongside to see what was gonna happen to the baby. Moses. He wasn't Moses at the time. And then the Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out the water, and that's when Miriam suggested, should I go and get one of the Hebrew maids to nurse him? You know. That conversation alone let us know that she was at least about 8, you know, that she would be that conscious to speak to a queen in Egypt and not be in awe, but more concerned of her brother's life. You know, that was Miriam. So how old was she when she had this conversation? How old was she when she died? She was in her 120. She was up there with Sarah. She put in a lot of years. She was, yeah. Moses died. He was 127. So Miriam was like 10 years older than him. So you got to give her at least that. At least that. She outlived Sarah. And she helped judge the people. What do you mean? She was the first one to judge. If it wasn't for Miriam, there isn't a Deborah. Deborah don't exist because they wouldn't see that authority in the kingdom. And it was there. So what did Miriam fit? Well, she fulfilled Proverbs chapter 7 and 4. My sister, wisdom, right? My kinswoman, being a Levite, and understanding that she is with the law, right? She was there with the law, and she was there with the people, helping lead the people. That was her. She fulfilled 4, 7 and 4, and she fulfilled Proverbs chapter 31 and 10. Why? Because she was married to the Lord. She don't have any. You don't hear her having any children or a husband, but her work was with God. So when Moses rose up, she rose up. When Aaron and them moved, she moved. She was in the know. The elders, the things that Moses and Aaron talked about, the elders didn't know. She knew. If it wasn't for Miriam, you don't have that the spirit of Miriam on a college woman that spoke to the king, that prophesied in the king's way. In a college that was married to a Levite, who just so happened to be a Levite, living in a college, doing what? What do you do in college? Teach. So it wasn't just we were out there in the wilderness, man. We had a system, man. We had a numeral system. You had government. You had, you know, people was paying tithes and things like that. So you had a real, you had an account system. So if you had all of that, then you had to have a form of an education system. And she being in the know, she was that one that was not only in the know of the law, but other people, and other people. That was Miriam. So now we got a Deborah that's from that conversation, from that consciousness. You know, that it's not something that we're supposed to be looking at. Oh, yeah, she usurping authority and things like that. That's not this conversation when it comes to Deborah. You know, she actually asked to not be a part of that thing. You know, it was another man that decided to lift that thing. So to lift her up, and then she told her that a woman would get the victory in this conversation. So this is that. So we're going to go look at her story because she was a prophetess, right? She was a prophetess. And so was Miriam. She was a prophetess. So let's pick it up first at first open up. And if we can, our brothers and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem, and if you can, brothers, uncover your head as we approach the Father, and sisters, if you can cover your head as we approach the Father. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. And Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on those. Our teachers and our elders and our brethren and their families. And Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their family. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and give them also of your Holy Spirit that they may receive a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do it forever. Amen. Amen. So, one, let's go and let's pick this up at Exodus chapter. Let's finish up with our mom, our elder mother. You know, Miriam. You know, let's pick it up there because she didn't have any. We don't have any children or no lineages or no nothing from that. To us, she was a nun in all other practical senses. I'm not having a better word to describe that. But that's what that would be to us, is that she would be in that status, that she would be a woman that had no children and wasn't married. And by the time the God of Israel called Moses, she was already in her 90s. Moses was 80. She had to be at least 8 to have a conversation with Pharaoh's daughter. Aaron was 3, so he was 83. We're not getting back into those things. We were just covering Miriam in her years and how old she was when it came to Moses. And so in a lot of times, when you hear that conversation, when she's talking to Moses, you can hear that big sister thing, and I also Savior, Lord. narrow behind a long time ago. Let's not forget that, you know, kind of thing. And it cost her, you know, big time, because you never, you know, the prick is that it's still the appointment of God. And we all supposed to stay in our orders. We're all practicality. We're supposed to stay in our place, you know, according to the order of things. And she, you know, did usurp authority at that hour when she spoke against Moses, and the Most High came down and checked her before the kingdom. So that's not the end of her story. That's not the end of her story. She is still a mother in Israel. And it was, if it weren't for Miriam, this thing is doing, should go back to why am I having thank you. So, Exodus chapter 15 and 20. And Miriam the prophetess, okay, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbre in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbres and were dancing. And Miriam asked them, and sing ye unto the Lord, for he triumphed gloriously, and the horses, his riders, have he thrown into the Red Sea. So this is Miriam, man. She's speaking before the entire congregation of Israel. I'm talking about all of us that came out of Egypt, all of us. This is her. And she is, you know, singing, and that what? That gave us this conversation that what? That Levites is going to be playing instruments. You don't hear Levites playing instruments until at this point. You know, well, yeah, I don't even think the Rams horn is in play at this time. You know, so she's out here with an instrument, and that's what exactly what Israel ended up doing. The Levites end up playing the instruments before God and singing before God, and so much that God came down from heaven to listen and fill the temple of God where the Levites were. That's her witness, you know. She did that, you know. She took up the music and things like that, that, you know, this will happen. Also, she was a prophetess. You know, she also was a prophetess, and a prophetess is someone that can speak of things that pertains to the law. You know, so God gave her certain judgment in the law, you see, in those things. So this is why you have people like Deborah, you know, and this is the thing. I want to go here, and I want to pick up this spirit of Miriam here, because, you know, we look at Miriam as, you know, was just sitting there like, you know, this big sister. She was more than that, man. She was intuitive, you know. She was here. This is the spirit of Miriam, too. This is being 2 Kings chapter 22. And 2 Kings 22. And let's pick it up at verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. So the king was disturbed, the king of Judah, man. I mean, you know, this is the throne of David. You don't get disturbed. This ain't like a regular conversation here. This is a king, right? So it says this, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go ye and inquire the Lord for me. Wait a minute. Here go the high priest, right? Here go the priest, right? And the scribe. Where the scribe? There you go, Sepher. There go the scribe. And they, servants of the king, he said, now go and inquire of the Lord. Why can't I get it from you, Akiah? You know, why is the king telling me I got to go and seek a source other than you, Hilkiah, priest, right? All right, well, like I said, this thing that Miriam spoken to the creation man is true. Have God only spoken only by you? No, he hasn't. Let's look at this. What else it says? It says, go ye and inquire the Lord for me, for all Judah, concerning the words of the book of this law that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do accordingly unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Akam, and Akabar, and Shifram, and Isaiah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, right? Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tufvah, the son of Horas, the keeper of the wardrobes. Now she dwelled in Jerusalem, and the colleges, they commune with her. What? So the priest didn't have an answer for God, but she did. The keeper of the wardrobe, what wardrobe? Who is this guy? Levite. Harris, keepers of the wardrobe. Now she went and now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the what? Colleges. What did you do in the colleges? It was an institution of learning. So that would allow me to think that Miriam made sure that there was an education system among the people that women were supposed to support. So our women wasn't uneducated. They were thoroughly educated because they had to learn the things that pertain to the law. So if you are learning the things that pertain to the law, that means you had to have knowledge of science. So we was way past the pushing of curds and stuff like that. If we would have kept the commandments of God, I think we would have been able to read each other's minds. If we were that honest and that truthful with each other, God would allow us to entertain each other's thoughts. I believe that. I believe that if God saw that kind of truth in us in the wilderness, he would have shared that thing with us, that we would be able to read each other's minds. You know, but we read each other's minds. What kind of peace you have to be able to read each other's mind and not want to kill each other, right? Or judge each other. That's another thing. Well, that's the same thing. Judging and killing is the same thing. So it says this. So it says, and he said unto them, and she said unto them, wait a minute, let me read this again. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim and Akbar, and Sephram and Isaiah went on to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tifvah, the sons of Hurhas, the keepers of the wardrobe. So she got a lineage. She ain't just a nobody. She got some bloodline in this conversation. And the king said, inquire of God, of her. He did. So there's going to be things that God is going to deal with Eve alone. Why? Because that's her job. A witness of this would be also Rebecca, that God dealt with Rebecca, and she had the twins, and she went in the choir of the Lord. And he said, she said, why am I thus? And he explained that thing to her. So this is that witness, too, that, you know, this is still a conversation of kingdom building. So you see, it's this conversation that Miriam was a prophetess, and she had a conversation among the kingdom. And here it is, you see, this prophetess is having a conversation among the kingdom. Who she's addressing? The king. You don't get no higher than that. You know, on that wise, and what is it that she have? What is it that she's bringing to the table? One is that she's a wife of someone that's a keeper of the things that belong to God. So that means that person is in the know when it comes to those things that belong to God. Why? Because he's in that conversation of those that are having them conversations that belong to God. Exactly. And it's been going on for years because she got lineage. You can read her family bloodline that these things is old that they talking about. So no wonder they went to her concerning her and concerning those things that pertain to the law, because it was before his throne. And so she broke it down. She said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah have read, because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense on the other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their works in their hands. Therefore my wrath hath kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words that thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, whence thou heardest when I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, has rent thy clothes and wept before me. I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, she just told him that he's going to, you know, not see all this that's going to come up on the kingdom. The God of Israel gave her that. Why didn't he give it to the priest that's supposed to be the lawgiver and those things? Well, sometimes, you know, you got to understand that this testimony isn't just one vision. It isn't one vision. It's two visions. What do you mean? Let's go into Acts. Let's go to New Testament. Let's quit. You know, you're the witness in the New Testament that it's the same thing. Nothing changed. God of Israel, he said, there's nothing new under the sun, you see. But there's an order of things that we have to stay in and that we got to stay in play in all the time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, and it says this. No, 2 and 16, it said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, which shall come to pass in these last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So that conversation is going to run. That conversation, we picked it up with Rebecca. And that's when, you know, that thing really started coming. That's when we picked up Rebecca with a prophetess. That was her conversation. So now, through that conversation there, we see here the same spirit is running all the way through time. So here it is that he still deal with our mothers and our daughters and things like that. He's talking about pour my spirit upon who thy handmaid. The same thing he did with Rebecca, the same thing he did with Miriam, the same thing he did with Ahuda, and the same thing there, he's still doing it. But it got to be in righteousness. It got to be an order. It got to be due order. And it says this. It says, because this is the law. It says, Acts 2 and 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour upon them days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into blood, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. So that conversation of, you know, women being prophetesses all the way to the end of time. So we can't, you know, you can't be quenching the spirit. I mean, you got to recognize when somebody's running off at the mouth and babbling and things like that. That's true. Same thing with brothers. They're running off out here teaching and they shouldn't be teaching. They don't know nothing. They should be what we call novices, and those that don't have understanding are immature in the word and things like that. They also shouldn't be out here. Those things. So this is that. So we have to be conscious that the God of Israel gave us gauges on how to recognize those spirits, because he did with Miriam. You know, because Miriam was up in them years when Moses came and they delivered the kingdom, right? So she was in the ones and in the 90s, and she was pushing her 120s, man, by the time we left Egypt. Jack. She was already in her 100s when we left Egypt. And, oh, gosh, she almost, we was 40 years in the wilderness. Ooh, Miriam was way up there. She pushed way up that food chain. Yes, she did. Oh, my God. That woman could have pushed way past 130. Because Moses was 127 when he died, and she had him by 8. At least 8. So, yeah, she could have pushed 130 easy. Oh, my goodness. Man, I didn't ever think of that. Wow. Okay, so here it is. But that whole spirit is transferring from her down here, and now we're still having the same conversation that they're going to be prophetess, women that's prophesying. They have dreams, and brothers going to have dreams and things like that. And sometimes I marvel at the dreams that you hear, and a lot of them be so on point, then a lot of them be kind of just out there, but then a lot of them actually come to pass. Like he said, he deal with us through dreams, conversation. He still is conversation in man. You know, in the night, like he said, in Job chapter 32, he still has instruction upon their beds. But this is the whole thing. So now we got the prophetess out here prophesying before God. Now, so let's go back to what was that? Okay, so let's pick it up at verse 4:1. Okay, 4:1. And it says this, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud died, was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabal, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Caesarea, which dwelled at Horhath of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah the prophetess, the wife of she judged Israel at that time. Now, what is judging? That means you separated the sheep from the goat, the left and the right. So you know what this when I read this, it opened up my head that the great that the first resurrection is gonna have both men and women. There go both women judging right here. You got Miriam, she was a judge, and now here it is, Deborah, she's a judge. So you're gonna have women coming up in the first resurrection, and they're gonna be what? Judges among the people as well. Or else it wouldn't be a law that they would be. So this is written that this is going to happen. So it says she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and the Mount of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So, once again, this sounds like this is Rachel's camp. You know, this would be Rachel's descendant out of that, out of her children here. And what it says, once again, she says, what she said, God has judged me, right? Well, here we are. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou would not go with me, then I will not go. I don't think he's a coward. I believe that if he had the Ark of the Covenant, he would have been good with that. But he said, well, if I ain't got the Ark of the Covenant, I take the prophetess, right? Because I know she with God and ain't nothing going to happen to her. You know what I mean? So if she with us, I can't lose, right? So, yeah. Kind of like when you reading, what was that flick? Deadpool 2. And that sister was lucky. She said there's no such thing as a superpower called luck. It isn't. It's called blessed. And he said, look, if you go with us, we're going to be blessed. That's it. Ain't nothing going to happen. And she was good with it, right? So watch this. And they showed Sarai and Barak and Abonai was going up into Mount Tabor. No, excuse me. I went ahead of myself. And Barak said unto her, if thou would go with me, I will go up. If thou would not go with me, then I will not go up. She said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sarai into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went to Barak of Kadesh. So he said, this glory is going to be unto a woman. Now, if I'm Barak, right, if I'm him, the first thing I would have thought, like, okay, well, God going to give her the honor, right? This is what she's talking about. Because that's the first thing popped in my head when I'm reading this story, you know. But it was in her that she was talking about. She, like the book says, she's a prophet. And so now with Heber the Kenite, which was the children of Hoadab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plains of Zinai, which is by Kadesh. They showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Adonai, was going up from Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and the people that were with him. And from Horeb, and the Gentiles onto the river of Kishon. So the Gentiles is up there with them too. He brought them. Oh. So that's when they got to look at the kingdom. All right. Well, here it is. All right. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is that day when which the Lord have delivered Sisera into thy hand, and is not the Lord going out before thee. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, 10,000 men after him, right? So he got 900 chariots of iron, and he went down there with 10,000 dudes. Okay, I think this is the outcome is going to be something a little different, right? Watch this. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and his hosts, and with the edge of the sword from Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled from on his feet. So his chariots were so slow that he outran his chariot. So he up on his feet, right? And but Barak pursued after the chariot and after the host and whore half and of the Gentiles and unto half of the Gentiles, all of her sisters, Sisera fell on the edge of the sword, and there was none left. There was not a man left. They chased them down. They ran them all down and killed every last one of them. You think Edwin Moses and these dudes ran fast? You know, and Joe, you think they had juice? Nah, these cats was built on this. This is part of the military training that all of us ran fast. Either we ran fast the other way or we ran fast the other way. So, excuse me. And it was, because growing up playing ghetto games, man, you knew how to run fast and you knew where to run and you knew where the traps was and everything like that. So you knew the gangs, you knew the gangways, you knew who, you know, fences to jump, you knew what, if anything got after you, you knew how to get off, right? But this is that same conversation. So they chariots got caught up, now they all getting, now he running, right? He running for his life. This dude's just a real, right? So this is what Deborah prophesied, right? So he owned. He said, so Sisera fled on his feet and to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin and the king of Hazar and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And he went and turned in into her tent, and she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. I mean, yeah, he's been out there warring all day. He, you know, he's been running for his life. You know, now he hiding out. You know, like she don't know it's a war going on, and you the king. You got the king gear on, right? And this is Jael, right? So she's in the picture. He said, for I'm thirsty. And she opened up a bottle of milk and gave him to drink and covered him. And she said unto him, stand in the tent. And he said unto her, stand in the tent door. And it shall be when any man doeth come and inquire of these and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took the anel of the tent. You notice she didn't agree or she didn't disagree here, that she bound herself in any way to another human being here. She didn't open her mouth. And then it says here in verse 22, and behold, and Barak pursued Sisera, and Jael came. No, forgive me. And 21, and Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. So this is one of the tents, you know, spikes. Took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temple, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. So she pinned his skull to the ground. She took one of the spikes of a tent, you know, a 9-inch tent nail. We call them 9-inch nails, you know. Well, he took it, and she drove it through his temples, you know, which sound instantaneous, because a shot to the temple is they say it's almost an instant blackout. You know, like your circuits is turned off immediately. You know, so this is what happened. She killed him, right? And so he said this, And behold, Barak pursued after Sisera, and Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came to her into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead and a nail in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. But see, this is the thing. See, it wasn't Deborah that got the glory. It was Jael that got the glory. It was Jael that got the glory. You see, it was her that got the glory for that victory. So Deborah did prophesy. Deborah did prophesy that that a woman would receive the honor of this victory, but it wasn't her. It was Jael, right? And we're going to read Judges chapter 5 and verse 1. It said, then sang Deborah, well, there go Miriam. What did she do? She sang, right? And Miriam Muska sang. She sang in front of the entire kingdom, right? And we knew the Levites can blow because God come down when they be singing. You know, and I knew growing up in a Jehovah Witness set, man, you talking about a bunch of Israelites that sound like mummies? I'm trying to tell you, man, Israelites that sing in a Jehovah Witness camp is dry as Oreo cookies without milk. That's for real, and I'm trying to tell you, but I take a Baptist choir anytime. Give me one of them. I take one of them who can sing, and you can hear the church two blocks away. I take one of those all day. That'll bring down God. If they singing like that, God is going to hear it. He's going to fill that place with the Spirit. That's the truth, because that's what you do. That's called intercession in the Spirit. That's real conversation. The choir is supposed to turn the place out. They're supposed to. You're supposed to sing songs that will lift up the Spirit. Anyway, it says this. So then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abaniah, on that day saying, they both sang, right? Praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel, when the people will willingly offer themselves, right? What do you mean? Because they didn't know if they were going to live or die, right? They said, hey, it's for God. It says, hear ye, O kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord, and I will praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. See, that was the shout out to all the kings that was after him. And he said, here, the Lord went out to Seir and marches out in the fields of Edom, and the earth trembled, and the heavens drooped, and the clouds of what? Deborah said that. He said that the God of Israel is going to come through Esau, and he's going to rip them a brand new one because, all right, see, got to pay attention to these things, man. Now, Seir is Edom. That's Esau. So she spoke against them. And he said, the mountain shall be melted before the Lord. Yeah, because he said, the blood is going to be covered. The mountains will be covered with their blood right here. And he said, the mountain shall be melted before the Lord, even Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Yep, because the mountain will be split in half, Zechariah. So she's on fire here. And in the days of Shemaiah and the sons of Anath, in the days of Jael, a highway was unoccupied, and a traveler's walk through the byways, right, because of the oppression, right? And the inhabitants of the villages ceased, and they ceased in Israel until the day of Deborah rose, and I arose a mother in Israel. There it is. That's why the law is still to this day that you give mothers honor, because you never know. You may have your Deborah. You may have your Jael. You may have your Miriam. You may have you Rebecca in the midst, man. You got to be conscious when you deal with your elder mothers, man, on so many levels, because the book tell you in the Proverbs, there's a curse when you don't. And, you know, curses, you know, don't you ever speak crazy to your mother in her years, you know, because you can get cut off for that. That's even the elders in the word, and you know they under the blood, right? Anyway, it goes on. It says, my heart toward the governors of Israel, offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye the right white asses, the right on white asses, and sit in judgment and walk by the way. Okay, all right. So, not white horses, white asses. Dig. And they that deliver from the noise of the archers and the places that drew near, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter the song, arise, Barak, and lead the captivity and capture the son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles of the people, and the Lord made him have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root against the Amalek. After thee, Benjamin. Yep, that's Rachel. After the Benjamin, my people, Makai came down, governors of Zebulun that handled the pen and the writer. See, there it is. So they setting government up. And this is Rachel's tent. And it says, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Well, they go, that's Leah. And even Issachar, also Barak, he was set on foot into the valley. For the division of Reuben were great thought of heart. For the divisions of Reuben were great thought of heart. That's Leah. When abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks, for the division of Reuben were great surgeon of heart. Glad Gilead abode beyond Jordan, while Dan remained in ships. Asher continued on the sea shore, abide in his breaches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto death in the high places of the field. And the kings came and fought the king of Canaan and Tanakh, and by the waters of Megiddo they did take no gain of money. Man, look at all this. You know, this is way past what Miriam said Moses and God of Israel did when he flooded out the Egyptians. Man, she got all this speech in the kingdom here. And this is what exactly what God going to do in the valley of Megiddo. Man, he's going to take the whole world there, and he's going to judge the world in the valley of Megiddo. And this conversation is going all the way in there. You see, so no wonder Joel spoke up on it. No wonder we got a chance to read the book of Joel concerning this matter, because it was Joel that spoke on those things that concern me to do. Oh, wow, dig that, right? Okay, all right, here we are. Prophets are suggested on the prophets. He said, so where were we? Let's skip down here. It says, okay. Zebulun and Naphtali that were jeopardizing lives on the death, 5 and 18, Judges 5 and 18. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto death in the high places of the field. And the king came and fought. Then fought the king of Canaan and Terek by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fall from heaven, and the stars of their courses fall against Caesarea. Man, I can read this in Revelation chapter 16 and 8 and 9. Yep. 8, 9, 10. I can read all this. Revelation chapter 16. Okay. It says, then we're at the horse hoof broken by the means of the prancing and the prancing of the mighty ones. Then were the horse hoof broken by the means of the prancing and the prancing of the mighty ones. Okay, there you go. Kersey Muzru, Mi Ruzi, said the angel of the Lord, woo, Kersey bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help the, not to help of the Lord, not the, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Oh my goodness. She said this. And he said, watch this, is in 24. It said, bless above women, Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be blessed, shall she be above women in the tent. There were that virtuous thing. So she fell in the virtuous thing. So her name is written in the book. There it is. In the book of life, we're reading it. Right? So that's her name. So Deborah prophesied that her name would be in the book of life. Here it is. And it says, blessed above the women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, can I be. Blessed shall she be above the women in tents. He asked water, she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. See, we didn't get all that, but that's what she told, you know, Deborah what happened, right? She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman hammer. And with her hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced it and stricken it through the temples. So not only did she, you know, she nailed him to the ground, but she cut his head off. And that's something else that we, you know, don't give credit to. A lot of sisters putting in work, because that's real work, you know, to just do that, you know, to drive a nail in somebody's head. That's real work. Real work. Wait a minute. Let me see, because that's not the only witness. That's not the only witness that somebody did that. This guy, he's an Ephraimite. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. Everything is what it is. 1 second. Okay, apologies. Anyway, I had to go and take a couple of two things. Anyway, but so this is her conversation. Look at this. He said, and she put her hands, it's 26, Judges 5 and 26. She put her hand to the nail, her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. And smote off his head when he had pierced and stricken through his temple, and her feet, at her feet he bowed. He fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell where he bowed. There he fell down dead, like he said, like she prophesied, that that war was going to be given, the honor was going to be given to the woman. There it is, that she, Jael, got the honor for that. That was from God. But I'm sure Barak was thinking that was going to be Deborah, you know. That would have been my first read on it. Anyway, it says, the mother of Sisera looked out at the window and cried through the lattos. Where is his chariot so long? Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarried the wheels of his chariot? A wise lady answered, saying, she returned her answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Caesarea a prey of the dividers of colors, a prize, dividers of colors of needleworks, a divider of colors of needlework on both sides, met for the necks of them that take spoil. So let all the enemies pass, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the hand of the rest, and the land rest for 40 years. Right out of that. That was under Deborah, man. God gave the kingdom peace for 40 years. No wars for 40 years. That was like 40 years of Sabbathing, 40 years of gain and harvesting and recouping and building your world back up economically. 40 years. That's a nice time to get it together. And sure enough, what do? We go right back into the wickedness of God. Into that sack. Well, let's see. It's another scripture, man, that a woman had a similar witness, and I just want to bring her up because I don't think that we acknowledge what she done, because her name actually isn't written in the book. And so we just want to bring her what she brought up, you know. In fact, I may just do a segment on all the matriarchs that did work in the kingdom whose name isn't written in a book, you know, whose name isn't actually mentioned. So we may do that. So anyway, this is the reason why I'm really thinking of doing a precept on that. Wise is this here. It says in 2 Samuel 20 and 1, 2 Samuel 20 and 1, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba. Belial means wicked, worthless. The son of Bichriah, a Benjamite. He blew a trumpet and said, we will have no part in David, neither have we an inheritance and the son of Jesse, every man went to his tents, O Israel. Ooh. And this is after David was anointed, right? That's heresy or sedition. So it says this, and David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women of his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living in widowhood. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, wow. Yep, those are the ones that Absalom defiled. And then, he said, then said the king of Ashkelon, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou there here present. And Shemaiah assembled the men of Judah, but tarried longer at a set time. And there went after Joab's men, he said, and David said unto Abishai, Now shall Sheba the son of Barak do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou the Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went after him Joab men and the Chirites, I'm going to look these people up, and the Pelatites, right? And all the mighty men went out of Jerusalem, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Wow, you got a whole kingdom after you guys? You gonna shout out like that? You gonna shout out against the Son of God, David, and then you go jet. He got the whole, he sent the whole kingdom out. This guy's not fit to get away. And when they had, he said, when they had, when they were a great stone throw, which is in Gibeon, a messenger went for them, and Joab's garments, that he had put on with a girdle under him, and upon a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loin and the sheets thereof, and went forth to forth it fell out. And Joab said unto Messiah, art thou and he, my brother? And Joab took a Messiah by the beard with his right hand and kissed him. Wait. Hold up. Okay, here it is. Okay, good. All right. And he went through the tribes of Israel and Abel and Bethlehemoth and all the Berites and were gathered together, went also after them. So, everywhere he go, they're like, we're going to find this dude. So he's stopping in town. He's like, he gathered more people. We're going to find this guy. This guy is going to get found. So by this time, Joab then picked up a whole army of dudes looking for this guy, this Benjamite, right? And he said, and it started out 40, but now he done picked up all these people that came up along, like, now we support David on this one. And they came up and besieged Abel, Bethlehemite, and they cast upon a bank against the city, and it stood in a trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, I say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. So it's wise woman, right? Here it is. Now, do she fit Proverbs chapter 7:4? Is she, because the book already testified that she's wise, so that make her a sister, right? Is she of understanding? Let's see. He said, since he asked for Joab to step up, and he went and came near to her, unto her, and the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear ye the words of thy handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they would not. Wait a minute. Okay. Keep myself on the scripture. Okay, here it is. 18. It said, then she spake, saying, they were not to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. So they ended the matter. Am I one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel? See, there it is. She is Proverbs chapter 30 and 31 and 10. She is 2 Peter chapter 3. She is this. She is Sarah. Because the word of God said that. Now, she just testified to that and said faith. And she is Leah. That's tender eye right here. This is Leah conversation. So she said, am I one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel? That thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel, that thou wouldest swallow up the inheritance of Israel? Joab answered and said, far be it. And far be it from me that I should swallow up and destroy or destroy. The matter is not so. But the man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Barak, by name, have lifted up his hand against the king, even against David, to deliver him only, and I would depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, the head shall be thrown down to thee over the wall. The woman went unto all the people, and her wisdom, they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Beri, cast it unto Joab. He blew the trumpet. They retired from the city, every man to his tent. Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now,
that woman saved the kingdom. She could have been in her pride and said, ain't y'all coming up on, ain't nobody said nothing to us. You know, she could have been in her ignorance with that matter. You know, she could have been clamorous with it. But in her wisdom, she saved the kingdom. Being peaceable and having the law of kindness in her mouth, she saved the kingdom. This woman. So, like, we like to wrap all these precepts up with this here as a reminder. Let's see. Proverbs 7:4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Now, ask this. Wisdom. Did she fulfill this law? Is this Deborah? Yes. Is it Jael? Yes. Is it the sister that was that threw the man's head over the wall? For sure, because all of these are Israelites and all of them perform wisdom. The book even testified that they were wise and they had understanding and they were kinswomen. They were families in Israel. They actually had lineages. You can read their lineages. That's the other thing. They were kinswomen. The Lord allowed us to see lineages. So that when you read their stories, you will say, yes, they are Proverbs chapter 7:4. Now, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? Her husband do safely with her heart of her husband do with safely trust in her so that he have no need of spoil. So, Deborah husband and J.O. husband, I'm saying these guys is Proverbs 31:11. Hands down, they don't have any issues with their wives performing what they had did for the kingdom. So, do they fit this Proverbs chapter 31:10? Of course. Of course they do. All right. So, Revelation chapter 12:1, it says this. Revelation 12:1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and under her feet, upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. So she being with child, she fell in the birth, preparing to be delivered. So, the woman would be Israel, and that they was under the captivity of Sirach, and the God Israel broke that captivity. There was that peace for 40 years. So, yes, they fulfill this scripture. And do Deborah sit as a queen? I think she do at the end of time. So, yes, she do fulfill this scripture. And Proverbs, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 45 and verse 9. And it says this, King's daughter were among the honorable women. Upon the right hand did stand the queen of the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughters, and consider and incline thy ear, and forget not thy own people and thy father's house. So we definitely know that this is Deborah in verse 10. We definitely know that this is her in verse 10. Did she sit a queen? I know she will. I bet she will. In that time appointed, she definitely will sit as a queen. You know. Do she fulfill this scripture? I think she do. I think Deborah is 45:9. It says, so shall the king greatly desire, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, worship thou him. So this is God. So would God accept Deborah? I think he did already. I think because her name is in the law that she's already been received. Hearken, O daughters, and consider and decline thy air, forget thine own people in thy father's house. So shall thy king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, worship thou him. The daughters of Tyrese shall be there with a gift, and even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. So this is definitely her, because when she prophesied that Barak would take over the kingdom, he got help, right? He got help from the people. And he said, and the king's daughter was glorious within, and the clothing was wrought for gold. So, well, yeah, because she was a prophetess, and the law of kindness and those things would, I guess, would pertain to a prophetess would be in her, right? She shall be brought unto the king in a raiment of needlework, and a virgin her companion shall, that follow her shall be brought unto thee with gladness and with rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter to the king's palace. So, yes, she is coming up in the first resurrection. Will she fulfill 45 and 15? Hands down. Will she get into the kingdom? Will she walk into the king's palace? I don't find no fault. I can't say nothing that would stop Deborah from getting to the kingdom. Nothing. So, yes, she do fulfill Psalms chapter 45 and 15. Instead of, it said, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter to the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou makest princes in all the earth. And I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. So how many people you know named Deborah or Debbie or, you know? So her name is written through time. So it's true. He kept the law. So that's true, too. And this is a memorial unto her that she is in the kingdom, that her name echoed through time as well here. Amen. So that's our mother, Deborah. Right. So now I'm going to go into Judges chapter 16. And I want to deal with Samson moms, right? Gonna deal with Samson moms, man, that God dealt with her, you know, first, man, like he dealt with Mary Magdalene, you know what I mean? And she had that issue too, with that birth issue, man. She was an older woman, and she was barren, you know, and God gave her a child and called him Samson. So yeah, we want to deal with that this evening. God willing, man, and my work schedule is a little awkward this evening, man, kind of like it was yesterday, and I really want to apologize because I know a lot of people are looking forward to this precept, and I want to thank the people that were looking for it, I mean, that was into it and things like that, but, you know, hours can be challenging and mayhem, and unfortunately, I am self-supportive, and so I have to work. I work so I can pay, right? Yeah. So these things happen. They prone to happen. Have that lifestyle to the Lord deliver you from. But the other thing is that tonight definitely gonna program the show. We're gonna go forward as though we're gonna. Everything is going to go off without a glitch, 7 o'clock this evening. And I'm going to deal with Samson's mother. I think she's another one that whose name isn't actually mentioned in the book. But the Word of God actually dealt with her in a big way, right? So we want to deal with her. Also, now we're not dealing with none of the wicked women in the Bible, man. We, you know, we dealt with that in Genesis 3:16. You know, we're trying to, that was the whole point of Genesis 3:16 is to uproot the sin. You know, we ain't got to keep rehashing it. Just, you know what it is, you know, just stop, right? That's it, end of it. You know, and so now we're sowing good ground, sowing seed. So, you know, now this is the time for the harvest, man, because the Passover is coming. So you want to have fruit. You know? This is after. So anyway, definitely this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to be back here for that precept. And, I want to thank everybody for being with us, you know, as we get through these things. But God is good. So I want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope edify someone. And no, let's do this first. We want to thank the God of Israel first and foremost for giving us a mindset to even look into our mother, Deborah, or our mother, Miriam, or all the matriarchs. Thank you for allowing us to be able to visit them according to your word. So in Jesus' name, Father, thank you for allowing us to be their witnesses as well. And that it's okay that, you know, that you continue to pour your spirit upon our daughters and our mothers, and that is the spirit of prophecy. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask this in your heavenly name. Thank you again for these witnesses. In you. Amen. So with that being said, thank everybody for their time, and we hold it as by someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, man,
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.